I have a scripture that I want to share with you guys. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And this isn't the message. I'm pretty sure we're going to get to the message this morning, unlike the first service. But 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 in the New Living Translation, it says, and I sent this out to the Mighty Men. I send that Mighty Men text out every week. And so I sent this text out to those guys about this verse. And I really felt in my heart, like this morning, it was like the Holy Spirit was just really telling me, hey, share this verse, share this verse, share this verse. And I shared the verse in the first service, and like he was just having me share more things with that. And praise the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to him and however he's wanting me to do it. But 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. You know what? This verse right here, this is really awesome. Okay, so that first part of that verse, it's telling us that pride will keep us from knowing God. Pride will keep us from growing in God. It will keep us from being able to understand God. Pride does that. And see, pride is that thing when, you know, it's all about me and how great I am and, you know, what I did, what I accomplished, who I'm, you know, this with or that with. That's pride. And it says right here, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. You see, it's so awesome because if we're proud, if we're walking in pride, we'll think that we have things understood and that God's got things wrong. We'll think that we got all the answers and we know how it should look like and what the outcome should be and how everybody should be and what the circumstance is. See, if we're walking in pride, we know what it should look like. But if we're humble and we're just saying, okay, Lord, this is my heart. Like, God, this is what I desire from you. And God, I know what your word says. Should we go to his word? Absolutely. We should go to his word and we should believe everything that his word says. And just because our understanding of the word and something doesn't happen the way that we think that it should doesn't mean that his word is wrong. It means that our understanding is off. We don't understand everything that he's got going on and every part of the picture. Even though sometimes we think that we do and we think that we've got all the scripture on healing or finances or relationships or whatever your issue is that you're going to God's word about, issue, or maybe it's not an issue. Maybe it's how to handle success or how to handle victories in your life, how to handle, you have finances in your life to be able to handle, and how do I handle them? It goes either way. So we should be going to the word. We should be going to the word when we've got the problems, and we should also be going to the word, though, whenever we're high on the mountaintop, man. But see, like whenever we're going to the word, sometimes maybe we're grabbing part of it and we're not seeing like the whole picture. Like the whole thing. But although sometimes in our mind we want to say, oh yeah, I got that figured out. I know what that looks like. I know what they're doing. When in reality, we may not know what the situation is, what it looks like, however. We have to trust him. We just have to go to him in humility and just crying out to him, God, I don't understand the situation. God, I don't know why. I choose to trust you. God, I choose to know that your word is true, and everything that your word says is true. Even though it might look like this circumstance or this issue right now is contradictory to what your word says, God, I'm trusting your word. Your word is true. Somehow my view is skewed. Somehow my view is off. But this is so cool. Let's go back to that verse real quick. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. This is so cool. You know, it really truly is just a matter of us just going to Him constantly and just crying out to Him saying, God, help me. God, help me understand this situation. God, help me to understand. Your word says this. Lord, circumstances say this. God, help me. Help me understand. Do we continue to seek Him out even though we don't have the understanding yet, or we just go ahead and we just give up? No. Because that's what we've been talking about. You know, like what we've been talking about is it's all in what you say. And we've been talking about how, you know, Scripture tells us that we're either speaking life or we're speaking death. We're either speaking blessings or we're speaking cursings. And the interesting thing is Scripture doesn't talk about the middle or the gray. Well, it's not necessarily negative, and it's not necessarily positive. It's not necessarily life. It's not necessarily death. No, it's either one or the other. And so, you know, it's really cool, especially when we can get our mind to that, just being like, okay, hang on a second here. I need to go ahead and make a test here and test this out. Okay, now if this comes out of my mouth, like, what is it? Is it speaking life or is it speaking death? Is it speaking blessings or is it speaking cursings? And He'll show us. He'll be like, oh, yeah. Speak that. Or the Holy Spirit on the inside will be like, just be quiet. And right now, Gina's been my Holy Spirit for this week. You know, remember last week I said I gave Gina permission to tell me shut up whenever. I speak life, you know, or I speak death out of my mouth, you know. And so there was like once or twice Gina's like, remember you told me I could say shut up? It's time. But we do. We've got to be constantly checking. Okay, hey, what's coming? What's coming out of my mouth? What am I letting come out of my mouth? Am I going to speak life or am I going to speak death? What hurt is there in speaking life? In speaking positive, in speaking blessings, what hurt is there in that? But when we speak death and we speak cursings over people, man, we can see that. Hurt situations. We can see that where it's not helping someone. It's hindering them. We've got to be speaking life. Life to people. And are we doing that? Let's be that person that is known. That's known for speaking life. Let's be that person that, you know what? It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. I'm going to speak out of my mouth life. I'm not going to speak death. And we were looking, last week we looked at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37, and we don't have time to go there for review, but let's look at James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and starting with verse 21 here in the New King James, it says this: "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word." This is so awesome. See that word meekness. It's actually the Greek word, and I have no idea how to pronounce it. Praus, P-R-A-U-S. And what's interesting about that is that word, it was used for a few things. It was used to describe a soothing medicine. It was used by sailors to describe a gentle breeze. And it was used by farmers to describe a broken colt. Now, what's really interesting, and basically what you can see what is the same with these, is that it's strength under control. Because see, there's some medicines that they'll do you good, but they're not necessarily soothing. Anybody ever have a cut when you were a kid and you put Camphophonique on that cut? Oh, you know, it was like fire. What's that, Jim? I don't know. I use Camphophonique. I don't know. It like burned, but anyway. But that was a medicine that burned. So you can have medicine that does good and it heals quickly, and then you could, but this, it's a soothing medicine. So it's doing good, it's helping, but it's soothing. Just like a broken colt, you know, a colt, it's got all kinds of power. It's got all kinds of energy. But it's harnessed. There's strength, but it's under control. And see, that's how he wants us. That's how he wants us with going to the word. He wants us getting strengthened, and he wants us, yeah, man, it's exciting. It's great. Just be a strong Christian for him, but under control. That's awesome. And see, here's the really cool part about that, because the under control part, that happens when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one going, oh yeah, go ahead, yep, say that, go ahead. I know it's not what you plan to do, but yeah, say that. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's okay, say it. I know it doesn't make sense, but do it. That's him. That's the Holy Spirit saying those things, encouraging you, and you're just like, yeah, okay. Strength under control. Not just saying whatever we have on our mind and what we think. We look at a situation and, okay, this is what I think should happen. And then we go in and we haven't checked at all with God. Even though we have his word, and we might even have some things memorized, and it might be the right thing. I mean, it might be totally right on. But the way it came out of our mouth, didn't give life to the situation. Got to be yielded to him. how we're saying things. And this is so cool. Okay, so, and we receive with meekness the implanted word. So we receive it, and we're, man, we're getting strong on the inside. But at the same time, as we're getting that strength on the inside, we're under control. Which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only. See, we have to be making sure that we're doing what the Bible tells us to do. We're not just hearing it and going, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's cool, that's great, yeah, that's awesome. Oh yeah, maybe one day, or yeah, next year. Maybe, yeah, well, when I have a little bit of money, yeah, well, when I have that right relationship, yeah, when I, yeah, no. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because see, if we're just hearing and we're not doing, we're deceiving ourselves. We're getting all this knowledge. This knowledge is coming in. Oh yeah, if I'm a hearer and I'm reading the word and I'm hearing it and I'm hearing it. All we're doing is we're just getting knowledge. And what does the Bible tell us about knowledge? Knowledge, all it does is puff up. Knowledge puffs us up. Knowledge helps bring up that head of pride. That ugly head of pride. Like, yeah, I've arrived. All right, so, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Next verse, verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, this is what the person is like. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He's like somebody that's standing there right in front of a mirror looking at himself. And then the next verse. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You see, sometimes in our life, what we end up doing is we end up building our self-worth. We end up building our self-worth on our looks, on our achievements, on our jobs, on our families. We build our self-worth on those things. You see, the crazy part is those things can go away. The job can be gone tomorrow. Lots of people have seen that happen over the past several years. The relationship, the family can be broken like that. We've seen families in broken situations. All these things in our life. See, if we're building our self-worth on these accomplishments, on all these things. See, when those things can go away, because see, those things can change. But see, there is something that is constant. There is something that doesn't change. And that's where we can build our self-worth. And it's on Jesus. See, if we build our self-worth on Him, doesn't matter if the looks fade. Or sag, or whatever they do. Doesn't matter if the relationship goes sour, whatever. you know, in whatever area. Doesn't matter, does not matter if, you know, we had the achievement and everybody forgot, you know, and it's yesteryear now and all you got is just the plaque on the wall. Doesn't matter. See, if we have our self-worth built on Him, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, this is awesome. Okay, so he observes himself, goes away. Can we go back 24 hours? Just reviewing that. And immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Just forgets, you know, looks at it, walks away, and like immediately forgets. Kind of like, you know, if we're in church and yeah, we're doing our thing and yeah, we're here and yeah, we're getting encouraged by other people. Yeah, praise God. The songs were awesome. Yeah, woo, awesome. And we go walking out the door. We get in our car. Somebody cuts us off on 19. Do we immediately forget who we are? Do we immediately forget what we know His Word says to do? Or are we a doer? Is it easy? Nah. Is it worth it? Yeah. Am I there yet? No. Am I going to be doing my best to get there? Yes. Am I going to have those times where I miss it and I mess up and yep, I read that and yeah, I know that. But I don't do that. Yeah, those times are going to happen in my life. But praise God, hopefully the knowing that and not doing that is going to get less and less. As I just continue my journey with Him. Continue my journey of just going, okay, God, it is. It's more than me. I can't do it on my own. God, I need You. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So, the person that goes to the Bible and looks and sees what the Bible says and they continue in it, like they do it. Like they're like David and they hide God's word in their heart, you know, and they're going, yeah, okay, yes, awesome. I've got this verse. Yeah, man, that's, oh, I'm doing it. Yeah. Continuing in it, like being a doer. Speaking blessings, not cursing. Just deciding, you know what, I am. I'm gonna do like James says, and I'm gonna be quick to hear. Like I'm gonna be quick to like hear. I'm gonna be really slow to speak. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If we want to be blessed in what we do, we got to be applying that. We've got to be applying the word that we're hearing, you know, as we're reading and studying God's word, we've got to be applying it to our life, doing it. Not just going, oh yeah, well, gee, that sounds good. Yeah, maybe one day. But just determining, okay. okay, God, yes, I am. God, I'm going to be a doer of your word. God, I know I'm nowhere near it, but God, I thank you that you're way bigger. God, you're way bigger than my circumstance, than the relationship, than the issue that's going on. God, you're way bigger. And the next verse. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, if anyone among you thinks that he's religious, thinks that, you know, somebody that is going after God and does not bridle his tongue, does not decide that, okay, hang on a second here, I've got to take control of my tongue. I've just got to decide in my heart that I'm not going to let destruction come out of my mouth. I'm going to let construction come out of my mouth. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If we think we have an idea of what it means to be serving God, but we're not bridling our tongue, the way that we're seeing it, it's useless. That's pretty powerful. It must mean that, like, our words really matter. It really matters what comes out of our mouth. Are we asking him, Lord, be helping me today? God, I don't have this tongue. I don't have it tame yet. God, help me to tame it. Help it to be controlled strength. Because there's power in the words that are coming out of my mouth, God. Help me to control the power that's coming out of my mouth by the words that I'm speaking. And we've already seen scripture. You know, I encourage you, man, if you weren't here for the past couple of weeks or whatever, check out the podcast. Here's some of those scriptures that we've already talked about with how powerful the tongue is. And man, just we got to make sure that we are getting that thing under control. Are we doing? We deciding, you know what, I'm going to control what's coming out of my mouth. You know, Gina sent me a story that is pretty cool, and I'll just read it real quick. But one day, Thomas Edison came home and gave a paper to his mother. He told her, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me only to give it to my mother. His mother's eyes were tearful as she read the letter out loud to her child. "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers for training him. Please teach him yourself." After many, many years, Edison's mother died, and he had become one of the greatest inventors of the century. One day, he began looking through old family things. Suddenly, he saw a folded paper in the corner of a drawer in a desk. He took it and opened it up. On the paper was written, "Your son is addled," basically in that time, mentally ill. "We won't let him come to school anymore." Edison cried for hours, and then he wrote in his diary, "Thomas Alva Edison was an addled child that by a hero mother became the genius of the century." Now, there's conflicting stories on, you know, like whether or not this was happened exactly the way this story read. But the bottom line is, one thing that they can say for sure happened. His mother only spoke words of construction for her son. We do know he was dyslexic. He was one of America's greatest inventors. And he had a mom that refused to speak negative in his life. Because the teacher that he had was a pastor at the school. And that pastor was basically telling him that he had mental issues, couldn't learn, and he needed to be out. His mom refused. His mom refused to say, "He's trash, just throw him away." His mom educated him at home. And we see from history what kind of thinker that man was. He just had so many questions. You know, it got the teacher upset because he's like, "Man, why is he asking so many questions?" But he asked so many questions because he wanted to know how it worked. Are we choosing to go ahead and be speaking the things that what it looks like? Or are we going to choose to speak words that bring blessing? Words that bring life. Choice is ours. What are we choosing to fill our house with? What are we choosing to fill our school with? What are we choosing to fill our courtroom with? What are we choosing to fill our capital with? What are we choosing to fill a church with? What are we choosing? Are we choosing to fill it with words of life? Or are we choosing to fill it with words of death? Are we choosing it to be full of words of blessing? Or are we choosing cursing? We got a choice to make. And we can choose. And we're either going to be doing one or we're going to be doing the other. Well, that's what Scripture tells us. Because our words are fruit. That's what we looked at in Matthew. Our words are fruit. And a tree is known by its fruit. Are we good tasting? Or are we rotten where people just want to spit it out? Is it pleasant? Father, in Jesus' name.